Anne Harding, James Stewart, and Conway Terrell continue in Madame X. Arrested for the murder of Tony Phillips, Jacqueline is taken to police headquarters. In an office of the Homicide Bureau, she sits in the glare of a blinding electric lamp. Two detectives are cross-questioning her. Captain Keene leans close and wraps his hand sharply on the table.
Come on, come on, come on. You admit that you killed a man by the name of Tony Phillips? You admit you went to the Hotel Trent for the purpose of shooting him dead? Now, who was he? What was he to you?
He was nothing to me.
Then why did you kill him?
I won't tell you.
You must have had a reason. What was it?
I won't tell you.
All right, sister. But you're making it a lot tougher for yourself. You know that, don't you? You know what'll happen to you, don't you?
Yes. Yes, I know what will happen to me.
And why don't you come clean? Come on, give us the dope. We're only trying to help you.
I have nothing to say.
You're waiting for your lawyer, is that it?
I've no lawyer.
But you're going to have one.
No.
No use, Chief. Better send her back till we get a chance to work on this thing.
Wait a minute, Murphy. I'm going to give you one more chance, sister. I won't ask you who the man was. I won't ask you why you shot him. All I want to know is one thing. Who are you? What's your name? Where do you come from? Come on. What's your name? You can tell us that, can't you? What's your name? Who are you? All right, Murphy. Send her back.
Flynn.
Yes, sir?
Take her back to her cell.
This way, sister.
Well, that was a nice waste of time.
I don't see what you're so worried about, Chief. It's an open and shut case. She walked into a hotel room and drilled a guy. She admits it, even.
Yeah, sure she admits it. But how do you know what she'll admit when she gets on the stand? That's what counts, Murphy. What she says in front of 12 good men and true.
You'll say the same thing. She didn't even want a lawyer.
Well, the court will take care of that for her.
Yeah.
They'll appoint someone to represent her.
Some kid, probably. Who can't even find his way to the witness chair. She sure is a sucker for not talking.
In the interest of justice, it is the duty of this court to see that the accused is ably represented by counsel. To that end, and to assure the accused of a just trial in accordance with the laws of this state, the court hereby appoints as counsel for the defendant, Raymond Cartwright.
Hello, Dad.
Well, come in, Raymond.
Well, I've got it.
Got what?
My first big case. Look me over.
Good boy. Well, the first one's always the hardest, you know.
Yeah, don't I know it. Of course, there's not much glory attached to this one. It's one of those assignments.
Oh, well, it's a start, Raymond.
Well, that's the way I look at it.
Criminal case, I suppose.
Yeah, she's charged with murder.
Oh, a woman, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Any evidence?
Well, that's the whole trouble, you know. It's all evidence. She admits everything. She won't talk about it. Won't even give her name.
Oh, yes. I think I read something about it in the papers this morning. What is it the reporters are calling her?
Yeah, trust them to give her a name. They're calling her Madame X.
That's it, yeah. Well, they've handed you a nice one for your first case. How are you handling it?
I haven't decided that yet.
Well, you'll have to get her to talk. Any luck so far?
No, I haven't even seen her. She wasn't in the court when I got the assignment. I'm seeing her at the Tombs at 4 o'clock. I don't know what I can do for her if she won't give me anything to go on. And, well, if she admits everything now, it's sort of hopeless, I guess.
Well, you can't tell. You can admit the murder and still get an acquittal, you know. Temporary insanity. Self-defense. Extenuating circumstances. Oh, it's been done before.
Yeah, I know, but isn't that sort of drawing it a little far?
No, not a bit. You see, justice is a funny thing. There's a district attorney on one side, a counsel for the defense on the other. Your job is to present your client's case in its most favorable light. Just as it's the DA's job to convict her, if possible. If you can dig up any facts that might conceivably influence a jury to vote not guilty, it's your right and your duty to use those facts. A human life depends on it. Depends on you.
Yes, I know. It's a big responsibility, isn't it?
Yes. Anything I could do to help?
Well, no, thanks. I'd rather have it myself. I mean,
of course, we'll go to it. And the best of luck.
Thanks, Dad.
Make her talk. You're a better man than the whole homicide squad.
How long has she been in here?
10 days. She ought to come to trial pretty soon. No use in delaying on these open and shut cases.
Have you questioned her since you brought her in?
Every day. She won't talk. She won't even eat. She just sits there and stares at you. It's enough to give a man the creeps.
She still won't give her name, huh?
No. She says her name is Williams. Laura Williams. But she admits it's a phony. It's only for the records. Here we are. You've got a visitor, sister. Go ahead, son.
Thanks. I'd like to see her alone, of course.
Sure. I'll be at the end of the corridor. Just yell when you want me.
How do you do?
What do you want with me? If you've been sent here to question me, you're wasting your time. I've nothing to say. I've told them that.
Oh, no, I'm not an officer. I'm your attorney.
I told them I didn't want an attorney.
No, but you have to have someone to plead your case. You see, that's the law. I was appointed by the judge.
Well?
Well, if I'm to represent you, I've got to know something about you. Who you are, where you came from. You'll tell me that, won't you?
My name is Laura Williams.
No, but that's not your real name.
They asked me my name for the records. I told them my name was Laura Williams. That's all I have to say.
But I...
That's all I have to say.
Well, you're not being very fair. You're not being fair to yourself or to me either.
You?
Yes, I... You see, this is my first case.
Oh.
That doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But I think I can help you. That is, if you're just giving me the chance. Now, I did want to make a showing on this. And so if you don't want to do it for yourself, perhaps you'd be willing to help me.
You're very young, aren't you?
Oh, I'm 24.
24. I had a son. He'd be 24 now, too. And he's just...
Then he's alive.
I didn't say that.
I'm sorry. I know it hurts to be reminded when... You've lost someone near to you.
Have you ever lost anyone?
Yes, my mother.
How?
Oh, she died some time ago.
Oh.
But we were speaking of your son. Now, he's still alive.
I'd rather not talk about it.
Has he anything to do with the man that was shot?
No. Oh, let me alone. Please, just let me alone.
But I've got to defend you.
I don't want to be defended. I killed that man. I walked into his room at the Hotel Trent and I shot him. Is there anything more to be said? I'm perfectly willing to pay for what I did.
But don't you see, there may be no reason why you should pay. That's all I'm trying to find out, just what the motive was. You see, you might have had a good reason to kill him.
I did.
Well, did he threaten you in any way?
No.
It wasn't self-defense then?
No.
Did he threaten anyone near to you?
No.
Your son, perhaps?
No. Why do you keep bringing up my son?
Well... It's the only thing I know about you, that you have or had a son. I'm just groping in the dark, that's all, trying to help you. You can't blame me for that. It's just my job.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, too, that this had to be your first case. But you mustn't take it too much to heart. Everything's against you. Nobody expects you to win.
Hello, Hotel Trent. What name, please? Just a moment, please. Hello, room service? Hold on a minute. Hello, Hotel Trent. Yes, ma'am. What name, please? Oh, one moment, please.
Excuse me.
What do you want?
The manager said I could speak to you for a minute.
Yeah? Take my calls, will you, Francis?
Okay.
Well?
My name is Raymond Cartwright. Are you the girl that was on the switchboard the night the man was shot in 518?
Yeah, why?
Now... I want you to think hard and try to remember. Did he receive any calls that night?
Yeah, he got a call about 8 o'clock.
You're sure?
Sure, it was a man called. I remember because it was just a couple of minutes before the fellow was shot.
You didn't tell the police?
Well, I didn't think it was important, was it?
Oh, that's all right, that's all right. Now, look. When that man called, did he mention his name? Now, come on, think hard. Now, come on.
Yeah. He said his name was, wait a minute now, Harper. Harper, that's what it was, Joe Harper.
You're sure of that?
Yeah, we always ask what name, and I remember because my boyfriend's name is Harper,
right,
and I thought...
All right, that's fine, thanks. Huh. You keep this quiet, will you?
Oh, sure.
Hello? Yes? Well, what'd you find? Well, now, keep looking, will you? Try the city directory. Try anything you can think of. Now, we've got to locate this Joe Harper before we go on trial. All right, thanks. Oh.
Any luck, son?
Nothing yet. If I could just get this man Harper, I might learn something. I've got two men working on it right now.
Well, what about the woman? Have you asked her?
She doesn't know him. If she does, she's not saying. I can't get her to talk about this case. She's just not interested. They brought her the notice of the trial. She didn't even read it. You know, she doesn't even know my name, and I'm defending.
When do you go to trial?
Thursday morning.
Doesn't leave you much time, does it?
I tried a postponement, couldn't get it. You know, Dad, it's funny. This thing's got me.
Well, that's natural. Your first criminal case?
No, that's not the reason. There's just something about that woman. Something I can't explain.
You think she's innocent?
No. No, but I have a feeling somehow that what she did, she had a good reason for doing. She was protecting someone. I'm sure of it.
Well, silence seems a pretty good indication of that. I'd use that point in the summing up, if I were you.
Oh, I'm going to. I don't know what good it'll do, but it's the only thing I've got to go on so far.
She's never given you anything else?
No, except that first day about her son. She talks to me now, though.
What about?
Oh, about everything except herself. She sort of rambles on as if I weren't there. Every once in a while, I catch a glimpse of something in her life. Something dark and sordid. Something that's been gnawing at her for years. And she's been through hell, that woman. It's in her eyes. But then there's something beautiful there, too. There's something I've got to save if I can.
I think you will, son. If you feel like that, I don't think there's anything can stop you.
I'm going to see her once more, just before the trial. I'm going to ask her if she'll go on the stand.
You think there's a chance?
Well, I don't know. I can only try.
I think I'll be there to watch you, son. You know, I've got a feeling that I'm going to be very proud of you. Whether you win or lose makes no difference. Remember that, my boy.
All right. Now, be ready for us in just a few minutes, son. We're just waiting for the judge. You feel all right?
I'm all right. I just wish it were over, that's all.
Now, before we go out there, I'm going to ask one favor of you. Now, please don't refuse me.
What is it?
Well, I want you to take the stand. Testify for yourself.
No, I can't do that.
Now, you won't have to tell them anything. I just want that jury to hear you speak.
I'm sorry. I don't like to refuse you, but I can't do that.
I'm sorry, too. I've tried to help you.
Now, don't feel badly about it. There's nothing more you can do for me. I appreciate what you've already done. You've been very kind.
You know, you've never even asked my name.
Names? They don't matter very much. It's what you are that counts. And you've been kind. Thank you. You don't know what it meant to have someone to talk to, someone who understands things as you do. I'd have gone mad just waiting there.
Tell me, haven't you any friends at all?
Oh, I did have once. I think I had everything that a woman could ask for. But I made one mistake, and I threw it all away. And it's so easy to keep on making mistakes once you've started. There's no turning back then. You just go on, step by step, always a little lower. Till at last there's nothing left but memories and bitterness and an ache in your heart for what you might have been. They say time heals everything. I don't believe that. I've never been able to forget. I've never wanted to. That's why I'm glad it's over now. I'll find peace where I'm going. Peace and rest. And I need them so.
Come in, please.
Thanks. Almost ready.
All right, thank you.
I'll be right outside here when you want me, Mr. Cartwright.
Cartwright! Is that your name?
Oh, yes, I'm Raymond Cartwright.
Oh, God!
What is it? Well, why do you stare at me like that?
You're going to defend me?
Oh, yes, of course. Now, that's why I want you to go on the stand, just to tell them.
You don't know what you're saying. You don't know what it means.
Well, what's the matter? Here, give me your hand. Now, get a hold of yourself, please.
It's all right. I'll be all right. Now.
for station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
KMX, Los Angeles, the voice of Hollywood.
Anne Harding, James Stewart, and Conway Terl return shortly in Madame X. Tonight's play concerns one type of court. Now we hear from a young woman who's made history on another kind. 7 times Wimbledon tennis champion, 7 times United States champion, and 4 times champion of France, an unequaled record. Helen Wills Moody, as one of the greatest of all women athletes. I introduce her tonight with the hope that she'll settle a question in the mind of everyone who follows this sport of king and commoner. Mrs. Moody, have you given up tournament tennis for good, or is there a chance you'll return?
I should like to go on one more tour, which would include Wimbledon and Forest Hills. It's difficult, however, to leave home for such a long time as is required for the summer tournament. But there is something irresistible about tennis, and I find myself playing regularly at home in San Francisco 4 or 5 times a week.
In a few days, the matches will begin at Wimbledon. That must be rather a hard call for you to resist.
Indeed it is. But after all, it isn't Wimbledon or championships that make tennis such a grand game. It's the finest sport in the world because it's everybody's game, a sport for all ages. When I was in Stockholm, I played with King Gustav of Sweden, who's still on the courts in his late 70s. Here in Hollywood, you'll find many of the stars playing remarkably well, not only for exercise, but because they know tennis develops poise. Among them are stars like Errol Flynn, Clark Gable, Gilbert Rowland, Warner Baxter, Greta Garbo, Ronald Coleman, and Merle Oberon.
I understand that now you're devoting a lot of time to designing clothes and painting. How does an artist's brush feel in a hand accustomed to a tennis racket?
The fields are not so far removed as you may think, Mr. DeMille. The action of a tennis game, the sweep of the strokes, the graceful lines, the rhythm of motion, are qualities that lend themselves very readily to an etching or a pencil sketch. Look at a good painting, and then at a good game of tennis, and you'll find a kindred artistry. As for clothes, my interest in designing was stimulated when I once found myself with a match on my hands, but no outfit. I was in a large city and yet couldn't find a store that had sensible sport clothes. Most of my designs have been for active sportwear, but I have also done some bathing suits and street dresses. Since I've been doing this designing work, my attention has been called to the problem of keeping up the attractiveness of sportwear, and I know that the answer has been found in the use of Lux Flakes. Sportwear lasts longer, looks better, and stays fresher when cared for with a splendid product responsible for this program.
It's obvious, Mrs. Moody, that you believe in having a variety of interests.
Yes, I believe if you have one main interest and a variety of lesser interests, it makes for greater happiness. In proof of which, I've also tried my hand at writing, and I've just completed a book. I've called it 15 to 30, because it deals not only with tennis, but with the experiences I've had and what I hope I've learned during those years. All my thanks, Mr. DeMille, for asking me to appear in the Lux Radio Theater.
I'm sure you'll be a champion among authors, too.